Taylor from Duran Duran. You're listening to Noise11.com.
The Paper Gods album. Now, this is the 14th Duran Duran album. And congratulations, because the Beatles only made it to 12.
Yeah, well, but they did that in 8 years. So.
That is true. It did take you 34 years to knock out 14.
Yeah. I mean, it's a whole different, you know, it's a whole different animal today. And I'm sure, you know, I think the longer that you've been in the game, you know, there's no rules. I was going to go off on a tangent and say the longer that you've been around, the longer you tend to take in making the albums. But I think this one was particularly, you know, we worked very hard on this one. You know, it was a no half measures sort of project. You know, it was important that we all felt, you know, not entirely satisfied, but as satisfied as we could be. You know.
When I look at Red Carpet Massacre, All You Need Is Now, and Paper Gods, the pattern that is springing to mind is something that you never really did before Red Carpet, and that is bringing in the special guest.
Yeah. Well, we touched on it we did it. We had Kelly's, and Anna from the Scissor Sisters. We did have, but they weren't blown out in quite the same way as this one, and it's not just vocal guests. You know, we've got Niall playing guitar, we've got John Frusciante playing guitar, we've got the Lindsay Lohan monologue. So I don't know, we really had fun with it on this record, and you know, there wasn't any kind of fear, you know, in letting other artists in. You know, it kind of felt like they were, you know, they were adding to the story. The sound. Once we started, John was the first guy that got involved, and that kind of was a mind expander. You know, we thought, wow, you know, well, this is, you know, amazing what he brought to the sound. And that sort of started us thinking, well, who else could we, you know, who else could we bring in, sort of thing. And by the time the project was just, by the time we were mixing the album, and we were starting to think, you know, a song like Pressure Off, you know, and we knew there was a place there for someone, you know. And that led to Janelle, and likewise Last Night in the City with Kaiser. You know, it's been great, actually. And I think in part because of the way the culture is today. And, you know, and if you look at, you know, pop, contemporary pop, you know, it's all about features. You know, it feels to me like, you know, people are so used to now listening to music where there's an interchange of singers and different kind, you know, you've got male, female vocal. So it just felt very contemporary, but very natural, you know?
Yeah.
It didn't feel forced.
Well, John Frusciante being on three tracks on the album, he must have almost felt like part of the band.
John was a really interesting case because it was the last call I expected to get from John. I mean, you know, he's a very private, very, very, he's very introvert, you know, he's very, very artistic, you know. It was a real surprise when I got in. He emailed me, actually, and he'd been, you know, he left the Chili Peppers, he'd stopped playing guitar, he was working, you know, he was focusing on electronic music, and, you know, later he told me that, you know, he wanted to start getting back into guitar, and, you know, he thought this would be a, you know, an opportunity for him to sort of, you know, get back into playing. And you know, he related to the sound of the band in some strange way. He was a very interesting guy to work with. All his parts were recorded at his house in Los Angeles. That was sort of done, you know, that was like an internet connection, you know. Right. He didn't come to London, but, you know, he's brought something, some beautiful playing to the record.
Working with Nile Rodgers again, now this is really history repeating itself, dating right back to, I guess, The Reflex when he did the remaster of that. Yep. Then there was Wild Boys, Notorious. And I was talking to Nile last year when he was in Australia. What he was saying, he actually talked about these sessions that you did with him for Wild Boys. And he was saying how he becomes a member of the band when he produces another artist or act. Was it like that again, where Nile really does come in and become that extra member?
It was quite interesting to compare the styles. You know, it was Mark Ronson's idea that we ask Nile to participate in this album, and they'd never worked with each other.
What was Ground Zero for this album? What was the first song you completed?
Well, I would say the turning point was You Kill Me With Silence, and that really, that is about Mr. Hudson. Mr. Hudson, if you are a pop, his history was, he was kind of discovered by Kanye. He was brought in, I think the first he had a hit with Jay-Z. I forget the name of the track actually. And then for a period of about a year, 2 years, he was kind of like part of Kanye's team. He was on 808 and Heartbeat. He was on The Throne, the duet album.
Yeah.
And we got a call from him. Saying, he'd like to work with us, and we didn't really know that much about him. I didn't know where he was from. It rang a bell, but other than that sort of fairly shortish but quite impressive resume, I didn't really know anything about him. So, we were at a point in the album where we were kind of ready for some fresh air, really. And so he came in. It turned out he was from Birmingham. We'd grown up, sort of 20 miles apart. And brilliant producer, songwriter, and we wrote You Kill Me With Silence that day. And that really, it was the first sort of serious song that we completed for the album and raised the bar, and it was almost, it reset the clock because, I mean, we'd been working on the album for almost a year at that point. And really, with that song, we said, you know what, that became the new standard, and everything else had to live up to that. And actually, the next song we wrote with Ben Hudson after that was Paper Gods. So You know, that was the turnaround week.
Yeah, you're on a roll. Well, we look forward to seeing some of these songs live. Have you determined how many will be performed live?
Yeah, well, obviously you try to jam as many in, but you know it's an evolution. You know, you can't just, you know, you're not just going to come out of the box. I mean, each gig really requires a specific sort of presentation, and it really depends on, you know, the size of the crowd. You know, the bigger the gig, you tend to have to, you know, you've got to be a little bit more, you can't be so selfish. You know, if you're playing a small gig to core fans, diehards, you know, they're just, all they want to hear is new material. You know, if it's a festival, then, you know, those people are going to want to hear, you know, they're going to want to hear the 10 biggies, you know.
Sure.
So we have to balance it out, but, you know, that's cool.
Yeah.
No, I think that's part of, you know, really seeing how good the material is, really, when you start putting it up against some of the, the, you know, the